We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
All right, it's Monday night with the Red and White. We continue from McAllister's Deli here on McGalliard talking Ball State football for the next 20-plus minutes. Now joined by Chris Adjeman, Ball State defensive end. First time we can say that, Ball State defensive end, because he's new to the program. Chris Adjeman is a grad transfer from Sacred Heart. First off, welcome to Muncie.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Thank you for having me, Joel.
This will be, when Ball State faces Miami in 3 weeks, your first game against an FBS opponent. Am I right on that?
Yes, sir. Correct.
You never played one at Sacred Heart.
Nope.
How much are you itching just to get out there and see what it's like?
I'm itching. I'm ready to go. Practicing with this team, very veteran, a heavy team and everything. I feel like, you know, I'm adjusting, you know. Definitely, the first few days, it was like, oh, you know, this is a little different. You know, the competition's better, the players. And I know this, I mean, before coming here, I knew it was going to be a good team. So I'm itching to just, hit another jersey and just get out there and just be with my teammates and everything. So
what's different?
I guess it's different, you know, in terms of, I guess, the mindset of this team. You know, like I said, before coming here, I felt like the coaches and everything, they were confident that, you know, this is the year that, you know, we're really they put the pieces together to bring a championship back to Muncie. And the coaches felt confident about that. And I would say another thing that's different is just the playbook and everything. The defenses I was in at Sacred Heart compared to here, a little different things. I'm learning, you know, multiple positions here compared to Sacred Heart. But I would say those are the two main differences, really.
What do they have you doing multiple position-wise? What do they have you learning?
So I'm playing stud and DN. So stud's basically like a D tackle position, the three and the four eye technique, and playing five tech. So it's been fun though, being able to play both, and I feel like it's something that is easier to handle now as an older guy compared to a younger guy that's maybe learning multiple positions.
You're 6'4", 270 pounds.
Yeah, 275 around there.
270,
yeah.
So almost, yeah. 280 pounds.
Yeah, yeah.
When did you get that large? Because that is you're a very athletic human, and those are massive numbers. How does a guy like you, with that size and that athleticism, slip through the cracks and wind up at an FCS level to start?
Yeah, it's funny because actually out of high school, my recruiting, we talked about a little bit, it was a little different. In high school, I was actually playing middle linebacker and tight end.
Okay.
Yeah, so I was like 6'3", maybe like my junior year I was like 215 and I got to like 230. So I was kind of undersized and everything. And I was kind of playing middle linebacker as like a position need for the team. And basically when I got recruited at pretty much every school that I was talking to at the time, they saw me going into a defensive end position. Because, you know, I obviously didn't see the vision, but coaches see the vision, like, you know, I'll be able to go through a college weight room 3 or 4 years, whatever, and adding weight and everything. So, you know, I was cool with that because I know playing linebacker in high school compared to playing linebacker at the college level is different. You got to be a lot smarter. Linebacker's a lot more things and everything. So I think that was the main reason, I would say, just being a little undersized and also not having film at that position to be able to display. And also the area I was at, I was playing at a prep school in New Hampshire, so it was kind of a little area where you kind of get under-recruited and everything.
How do you add 50 pounds? Like, that's not just like I bench pressed a lot.
Right. Yeah,
What goes into that?
No, it's definitely tough. So my first year, I mean, I came into college like 230, 235 maybe. And before like the season fully started, my coach said, look, we're going to redshirt you. You know, you're going to add some weight, add some strength, and also learn the position more. So those are the main reasons I had redshirted. And I think my first year, honestly, I was like a muscle gainer. You know, like taking, it's like 1,000 calorie shakes. So I was doing that. So then by the end of my first year, I got to, I think I was like 255, I want to say. So then I added weight, and then my weight would go up and down. So like at one point I was 270, but honestly, like most of my college career, my playing time, I was actually playing like 255, 260. But I never actually played college, like my college weight at 275. So this is actually my first time I've actually been a true 275 going into a season. So
how's it feel?
No, it feels good. Last year, like I said, I was playing like 260, and I've always wanted to be bigger, but I think I put on the weight in the right way with you know, the help of the nutrition we got here and Coach Armour and everything. I mean, they do a great job of you know, being able to provide and feed us and everything. So I feel good, you know, because like now I'm playing that 3-tech 4-I, so playing that stud position. So now I think that added weight is going to help me, give me the versatility to be more beneficial inside as well as play outside.
What's in a 1,000 calorie muscle gainer shake?
That's a good question. To be honest, it's like basically a big protein shake.
Okay.
Pretty much, you know, it's just
it's not just like a kitchen sink. Like,
oh no, no. Okay. I didn't personally make it. I just bought it. Just like, you know, just basically whatever flavors you want. You know, chocolate, brownie batter, whatever it is. You know, so that's what I was usually drinking.
What did it taste like?
It tasted good. No, I enjoyed you know. Okay. Like, after workout, I look forward to...
I got to get in on this because I've never been over 145 pounds a day in my life. Yeah. So, yeah, we got to find some sort of secret here.
All right.
Chris Adjeman joins us, Ball State defensive lineman, first-year player for the Cardinals, transfer from Sacred Heart as a grad transfer.
That's right.
Take me through that process.
Grad transfer process.
How hard is it to decide, A, you want a grad transfer first and foremost?
Oh, yeah. The decision to grad transfer was definitely tough. You know, honestly, at first I was very close to actually coming back. But, you know, I just think my gut was telling me I had to go out of my comfort zone and take that next step and just, you know, get away from home a little more and also just experience something different. I felt like I put in a good 4 years at Sacred Heart, and I felt like, you know, we did win a conference championship. I accomplished, you know, personal goals and stuff. So I felt like I was in a good spot where I could be satisfied, where I could move on. So it definitely was tough because, you know, you build that bond with, you know, your teammates, your coaches and everything. So it wasn't easy for sure, but I felt like I needed to be done.
How hard is it to bond with a new team? This couldn't have gone how you expected.
Yeah. No,
I'm sure
no.
You just thought you'd get here over the summer and everything would be peachy.
Yeah.
How have you gone about navigating the current situation with ingraining yourself in a new roster?
Oh, yeah. You know, it's definitely, you know, been difficult because, you know, when I first got here, it was different. It was like people were in the locker room at certain times. You're not seeing everybody like usual in the summer where everyone's in the locker room, camaraderie. You know, that's where the building starts and everything. So it was different. But I think it's been like a smooth transition. You know, I've been welcomed with open arms since, the day I visited. And now I'm just, you know, I feel comfortable here. And, you know, I feel like I've been here for even longer than I have. But I feel like it's been a smooth adjustment. Both my roommates being, you know, grad transfers, That helps me because, you know, we're all in the same boat. And just being with them, and, I mean, I'm not the only one going through it. And so it just, it's been a pretty comfortable feeling so far.
Are you with Ekpe and JT Wahi?
Yeah, on both of them.
So they put all three. Did they put the three of you together, or did you guys just figure that out on
It was kind of like us figured out. So me and JT, we actually had we both visited together. And, yeah, so, like, I remember he had made the decision to come here before me. And then after that, I made the decision shortly after. And then after that, we just started talking, like, decided to be roommates and everything. And then Ekpe, I know he made the decision to come here a little later. So then we linked. We just talked with Ekpe, and then we just end up just rooming with each other.
Chris Adjeman joins us, Ball State football defensive lineman, Monday night with the Red and White here. Still 3 weeks out from the start of the 2020 season with the Miami Redhawks on the road. That is first up for the Cardinals. When you arrived, I believe you had to quarantine for Were you were 2 weeks in isolation?
Yeah, 2 weeks in isolation. It was very, like, the day I got here, you know.
Welcome to Ball State. Go to your room.
Right. Yeah. I'm saying, like, so, yeah, it was tough. You know, obviously I was excited. I was going to come here and instead of working, like, doing those band workouts and doing that, I was going to get with the team, you know, finally, you know, meet some of the guys and finally actually start lifting some weights.
No, more band workouts.
More band workouts. Yep. Stay at home. So that's what happened. And then for 2 weeks. So it was, you know, kind of a bummer, but, you know, I understand that I wasn't the only one that had been going through that. And obviously, along with our team, everyone across the nation is dealing with that. So just kind of have to keep an open mind and just stay positive, really.
What was that like? Like, what did you do for 2 weeks?
2 weeks? It was just basically, it was tough. You know, I would do little home workouts in my house or whatever. But other than that, you know, do that, eat, chill, like, just patiently, anxiously wait to just get back with the team and just finally be working with them and everything.
You make that sound like it's just easy. Like,
yeah. No, it wasn't. I mean, it wasn't bad, you know. Like, where we live at, we all got our own bathroom, so everything. So it was pretty easy to quarantine and all that. Yeah, it was, again, it was definitely tough, but I'm glad, you know, I got over. And luckily, I know there's been people that have been quarantined multiple times.
Yeah.
So I haven't had to face that, but.
What is what's this like for you? Because you come into a situation where, all right, it's my last season of college football. I'm going to crush this. Mm-hmm. All right, I'm not going to have a season. All right, I'm going to have a season, but it's only going to be six games. Oh, I can actually come back next year, too, if I want.
Right.
What's the roller coaster ride of emotions been like for you? And I guess is there a level of excitement that's like, all right, I'm going to get this six-game season, and then, like, all right, I'm going to take my time to get my master's mm-hmm. degree, and I'm going to get a full season next year that I didn't anticipate.
Yeah, no, it's honestly, it's crazy. You know, of course, you know, everyone was bummed out. You know, we just started fall camp in August, and we were maybe, what, three or four practices in. Coach Nuno got us together, said, look, you know, they're going to make a decision on the season before we're about to start our first pad of practice or whatever. And then they made a decision that said, yeah, no season. So then it was tough. I was like, okay. And then we came up with that motto, win the weight. So that was, you know, kind of just having positivity going through there. Like, okay, we're going to get ready no matter what. I mean, if, you know, getting to Detroit is going to happen this spring or now, we're going to do our part each day in order so we can get to that point. So it was, you know, definitely tough. But now we're playing. So, you know, it feels good and everyone's excited. And I know we're all ready to go.
How do you contribute to that once games start playing? You're a guy that had a ton of sacks at Sacred Heart. You had – I can't do good math here. 7, 8, 13. You have 14 sacks at Sacred Heart.
Yeah, yeah. 14 has something like that.
Yeah, like that. That would be up there in the Ball State record books. You had 7 passes broken up last year. Mm-hmm. So for a defensive lineman, you can get some hands up there. Yeah, but yeah. I guess that goes back to the athleticism, being a middle linebacker, tight end in high school. Describe yourself as a player and what makes you unique at that defensive line spot.
I think what makes myself unique is, I think I'm versatile in terms of, you know, there's some people that are pass rush specialists. There's some people that are, you know, they're good at stopping the run, but I feel like I can do a little bit of both. And, I think that gives me the option. I can play inside. I can play outside, which, at Sacred Heart, I was mainly playing outside. I did play inside a little bit, but here I feel like I'm doing both, which, I feel like I can provide that versatility. And also just, you know, being a leader and coming in as an older guy and, like I said, being able to help, you know, the younger guys and also just to contribute to the great leadership and all the seniors that we already have on this team. So I think that's where my strength comes in.
How'd you knock down 7 passes?
Yeah, so my junior year, you know, I was a little more productive in terms of, you know, getting to QB and everything. So I think, you know, another way to affect the passers, you know, if you're going to get your hands up or if you're not going to get to the quarterback, you know, get your hands up or something like that. So I think last year it wasn't a focus. It was just like, you know, things were happening. You might be getting double teams or something. So, you know, I might get frustrated. So, like, if I'm going to affect the passer, I got to do some type of way whether I'm getting
– Don't try to beat the double team. Just drop
exactly.
off. And, yeah, huh?
Yeah, so it's honestly, it was more like just bad downs, really. It's more like the line of scrimmage. You know, actually, I actually even had a pick last year, but it got called back. But because one of my teammates here, like, went offside or something like that.
It still counts in your mind.
Still counts in my mind. Still winning the highlight. So, but, yeah, so I think just – Yeah, like I said, just find another way to fit the quarterback, get my hands up. It just kind of happened. I wasn't really expecting. I didn't come into a game, oh, I'm going to knock this pass down. Just kind of reaction, really.
Chris Adjeman joins us. This is Monday Night with the Red and White.